This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is Monday. It's just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. We're here to look after you and tell you what's going on in the world. We'll also check in a moment or two with someone called Elian Wiener, who wrote an article about South Africa. What's going on with us? We as a nation have just scored really badly in the life expectancy, alcohol use, depression, and diabetes indexes. We now know that this global wellness index has come out and that we're right at the bottom of it. So we're going to talk to him in a moment. And he wrote about it in a blog post on a website called wealthwoke.com. I bumped into this article the other day and thought it might be interesting for us to check out what our level of general global wellness is. And the bad news is it's not that good. But we'll talk about that in a second. A couple of messages that have poured in as well. First of all, someone says, according to one of the news stories with a guy in Botswana who flew his King Air aircraft into a baby shower. Luckily, everybody had been cleared out because they thought he was a bit unstable. And this comes from Dips. He says, rest in peace, that beautiful King Air airplane.
Okay.
That's all he's interested in is how can you damage such a beautiful plane? And then a couple of other people saying that they missed out on us talking about The Bachelor. You can listen in the first half hour of this morning because this person is very pissed off about what happened in that episode.
Oh, dear.
Well, there was just so much there was to be pissed off about.
And then a question for Ben from Ash. There better be an air-conditioned stadium in Singapore because nobody's playing rugby while it's 34 degrees with 85% humidity.
Yeah, exactly. There are about seven people there. But they're the ones who are cleaning up after a football match that happened prior.
Right.
No one cares.
So, loads of stuff in the news. Well, should we get into how Barbara Streisand has come into the discussion suddenly out of nowhere?
I haven't heard a thing about this. What happened?
Was she a friend of Michael Jackson's? Yeah.
Barbara Streisand, who, you know, I've said some nasty things about her, but that's besides the point. Barbara Streisand is someone who, she does have very strong opinions in certain things. She was good friends with Michael Jackson. She went out and said the other day after the Leaving Neverland documentary has you know, created all the noise that it has. Barbara went out and said, you know what? None of these accusers died. They all got to live these incredible lives. It's not as bad as they say it is. She's not a big fan of their victimhood. And of course, that got her massive waves of opprobrium.
Yeah.
People saying, oh, you nasty witch. How can you say that about these kids? They were abused. Michael Jackson was a child molester. And she's like, look, they didn't, did you die? But did you die? So she doesn't care. And then she was forced to apologize eventually because she realized, like, oh, people are just too woke for Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, if you want them to shut up, you're going to have to.
Yeah, so she's apologized. Which, by the way, is the worst thing you can do to people who are offended on the internet because they actually don't care about your apology. They just want to feel like they've won. And if you do apologize, they keep coming at you. Like a savage dog that keeps attacking because it smells the blood. So never apologize to those kinds of people, but Barbara has, and now she's trying to clean up the mess that's been made around her.
Can't win.
Cannot win. All right. Sia, are we going to talk to Elian? Is he on the line? What's the story? Oh, he's on Skype. Oh, I've been keeping him waiting. Are you still waiting for him? It's a process, clearly. This is a bit of a process. We're going to talk about the Global Wellness Index with him in a moment or two. First of all, this is important. Breaking news. Leanne had a bit of an incident. She was held hostage in her room last night by a spider.
No.
Yeah. More on that story later. She's still suffering. All right. So, Elian, good morning. Elian Wiener is on the line. He's the author of a piece that I found on wealthwoke.com the other day about South Africa and the Global Wellness Index. Elian, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, guys. Great chatting to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. How are we as a country, though? Not so good.
No, I was pretty shocked on this one. I actually came upon this report. It was a Bloomberg report, sort of a global report on where it first appeared, and it's called the Global Wellness Index.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of reading this and see the reason it was, although it was a global report, it did mention South Africa, but only because we scored dead last. So I was like, I mean, it's pretty surprising, right? You know,
it's horrible.
I kind of expect to see South Africa mid-table.
Well, you would think so. I mean, we've got, you would think, better healthcare than places like Somalia, so we shouldn't be last. But this isn't just about healthcare.
Well, they did 150 countries, so I mean, I guess South Sudan, Syria, maybe Somalia.
Maybe they've suffered a little more. But basically, you don't want to be one of the countries in the S's you've just listed. So let's talk about what wellness actually means. There are a couple of things that they're measuring here, right? It's not just how healthy you are.
No, so they've got a couple of metrics that they use when compiling this index. So they look at things like obesity, alcohol consumption, blood pressure, diabetes, activity levels, happiness measures. So it's quite a comprehensive sort of list of medical health issues that they look at when compiling this, mm-hmm. and actually break it down in terms of how we score on some of these metrics. So for South Africa in particular, I mean, we score extremely poorly on things like alcohol consumption, inactivity, diabetes, blood pressure, and depression, which, I mean, those are some serious issues that we're looking at there. And a lot of those issues we actually score as low as possibly. So sort of like equivalent to a 1 out of 5.
That's terrible.
You know, which is pretty bad, right?
So I'm trying to understand why this is. I mean, clearly there are lots of people in South Africa who eat the wrong stuff, who don't do enough exercise, who are put under huge stresses either in the workplace or just getting to and from the workplace or at home. The depression is a major contributor to this. Why aren't more South Africans aware of how badly we've done in this survey? Because it would indicate that there is a lot that we need to fix.
Well, I think there's a lot we need to unpack. So that's why I was so surprised that it was kind of ignored by the mainstream media. So I had a look at it and I started unpacking it. So I said, well, why would we score so badly? 150 out of 150. Why? So first of all, I thought, well, okay, GDP. Sure, GDP per capita. The higher the GDP, surely the higher the health score. When I had a look at that, it wasn't entirely true. Because, first of all, we score about mid-table on the GDP per capita level. We were about number 80. But then I had a look at some of the countries that were in the top 20 of this wellness index. Countries like Honduras, Peru, Philippines, Guatemala, Laos, Cambodia. Now, those scored pretty lower than us on GDP per capita, but in the top 20 of this wellness survey. So I'm thinking, well, okay, it can't be just GDP then. What about... Look, there's GDP per capita, but we also need to look at the spread of that GDP. So I thought, well, as we know, South Africa's got one of the highest Gini coefficients in the world, which means we're one of the most unequal countries in the world. So maybe that's got something to do with it. So I went and had a look at the inequality tables. And yes, I mean, because we score so poorly, surely that's another reason. A lot of South Africans don't have access to proper health care.
And
is
there a correlation there? Because I would imagine there are countries like Honduras, for example, where there is a correlation.
But yes, countries like Honduras and Guatemala, they score very badly on this inequality table, yet they're still in the top 20. So it can't all be explained by inequality. So something else is going on here. And the question is, what are they doing right? So these countries that are unequal, mm-hmm. that have less GDP per capita than us, yet scoring in the top 20, what are they doing right? I guess, and that is the question, right?
Are you able to answer that question for us and so we don't have to do more work, or is this something we all need to pay attention to?
I've chatted to a couple of people in the healthcare industry in South Africa, some people obviously run large medical aids, etc., mm-hmm. and the feeling is generally that you have to look at this on two levels. So the first one is at a country level. So in terms of policy and government policy. So over there, what scares me a little is that we're actually scoring pretty well on government spending on healthcare. I mean, considering how large our private medical aid system is, that's quite strange, right? I mean, we seem to be spending well, but we're not getting the results. So there's something going on there in terms of the spending and maybe the efficiency of that spending. But the other thing is, and what some of these experts mentioned is that we need to look at things like education. I mean, I don't think there's any coincidence that one of the areas we scored well on was the smoking rates. And I think if there's anything that the government has done really well over the last 3 years on the healthcare side, it's really on the education around smoking and the laws around smoking and plain packaging and that kind of thing, and warning labels. And we've seen the benefit of that when you look at these results. So it shows that it can be done.
Or it could just have to do. It could just have to do with very high taxes on smoking. I mean, that could also be it.
Oh, I think that's part of it, though. I mean, the high taxes is part of the government intervention,
sure,
in terms of lowering the rates of smoking, obviously to make more money. But I think it's whatever it is. Some of those policies have worked, and maybe things like the sugar tax, as much as some people are railing against it, maybe it'll help on sort of on the diabetes risk.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the spending on healthcare, and my worry about that is that we may be spending a fortune on healthcare, but we might not actually be delivering any kind of healthcare to people. It might all be salaries for nurses who never pitch up for work. It might all have to do with government hospitals that are run badly, administration. It could be corruption. God alone knows where this money's going, but it's not ending up in equipment and manpower that is there to make people better.
Yeah, well, it doesn't appear to be, and that's for sure. And then the second thing that we need to do is, so besides the country view, I think at a personal level.
Mm.
So, I mean, a country policy, and that can explain a lot of these issues and socioeconomic things. But, you know, when you look at things like obesity and inactivity and alcohol consumption.
Yes.
I mean, we've got to take a little bit of personal accountability for some of these rates. And I think that's something that we all can kind of do for ourselves. I think that sometimes, I think what we've seen as well on these private medical schemes, the incentivization is not a bad option either. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm pretty incentivized to put on my Apple Watch or climb flights of stairs if it means I'm going to pay less for my healthcare.
Sure. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
But listen, well done on the article. I'm glad that you're doing something to bring people's attention to this. We were dead last in the Global Wellness Index, and we seem to be the only country that doesn't care that we're all the way at the bottom of this. But Elian, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Wealthwoke.com. If you want to go and find out more, you can go and read some more of Elian's stuff there. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
I mean, it gives you something to think about on a Monday morning.
Yep.
All right. Lots of stuff to talk about today. So Leanne was held hostage in her bedroom by a spider.
Oh, please don't even say the word. Oh, why does it happen to me?
Well, because you're afraid of spiders. It happens to everyone else. They just walk past the spider.
Big rain spiders.
Yeah.
Enormous. They just leave them.
Oh, they're harmless.
I know they're
harmless. I don't mind. I'm not scared of being bitten by a spider. I've been bitten many times by dangerous spiders. It's just I don't like the look of it.
Well, they kill mozzies. They do a lot of good things.
So, yeah, I was...
Well, I'll stop you there. I have never seen a spider kill a mosquito.
Yeah, this is true.
This is this reputation they all live on so they can squat in our house. I say no.
That, you know what?
Unless I can physically see it happen. I tell you what, geckos and lizards, keep them around. They kill
lizards. They're the best. I've watched them.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Literally seen it happen.
But these things are so big, they need permission, man, to come into the house.
Spiders can piss off.
So was it between you and the bathroom, between you and the front door?
No, I was locking up the lounge door to go to bed at about 11:30 last night. And it was on the curtain right next to my shoulder. I nearly
lurking.
Fucking crapped myself. Jeez, like between the folds of the curtain. I was like, whew, the profanities that came out.
So what did you do? Because you live alone like I do. Did you call someone or did you attack it
with
a feather duster?
So no, I can't do that, you see. Because if it moves, I'll need to go to the hospital for tranquilizers. So I closed three doors and put towels underneath them.
Oh, so it can't come under the doors?
Yeah,
oh,
but
God.
Except it's an old house, so it can probably come anywhere through the doors.
Through the roof.
Oh, my God, please, Gareth.
The light fittings.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, Leanne, then.
So I got into my room, and I thought, I need to call someone. And my gardener stays there three nights a week, but last night, of course, wasn't one of them.
See, and spiders know that.
my tenant wasn't there because she's away on weekends.
Yeah.
My uncle, who's the closest, would have been fast asleep.
Yeah, you're just screwed.
I sent a message out on the emergency family group.
Emergency?
Yes.
And did anyone respond?
Yeah, Taryn, my cousin, the doctor, did. She said, I'm awake, but unfortunately I'm on call between two hospitals. Are you okay? I said, well, not really okay. So did I said, I'm probably not going to sleep. So I ended up taking tranquilizers. And then I did manage to sleep. But, of course, I'm as groggy as all hell this morning.
So do you not have that urge to just take something like a book and throw it at it?
No, because it's going to move. It's going to curl up. If it moves a centimeter, I'll die.
But, Leanne, this is the thing that we've got to do as humans. We've always got to take it next step. Because if you throw the book at it, then it can't move because you've squashed it.
Well, now the problem is that it's somewhere there, right? So I'm literally cancelling business meetings so that I can go home and have somebody find this thing. And if it's not found, I won't be living in the house. And that people mustn't lie to me either, hey? Needs to be found.
She won't live in the house.
I shoved out my two best cats, who the best of the hunters. I shoved them into the lounge last night and left the light on. And hopefully they saw something and maybe killed it.
So I'm guessing that this new hot sauce maybe isn't for you. So there are these scientists who basically specialize in venomous bites and spiders and all these kind of things. And they've developed a hot sauce that can mimic a spider bite.
Oh, God. Why would you want to do that?
To eat.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself?
So we all know that we spoke about hot sauce. Remember that time we actually had a hot sauce eating competition here on the show?
No, Gareth, stop showing me pictures of spiders.
Oh, it's not me. It's people sending in messages with spider pictures. So they've tried to make this hot sauce taste like...
Yeah, this sauce was designed using test data from hundreds of arachnids. Ugh. So to give you a tingling sensation like you've just been bitten. So this actual hot sauce, which can be bought in England, I think, for £6.50.
That's revolting.
It basically mimics a Trinidad chevron spider bite. Oof. A hot sauce.
So it makes you feel probably like you've been... I don't know, maybe your body gets all hot and you swell up a bit.
That's exactly what it is.
Why would you punish yourself?
But like hot sauce has now evolved to the sensation of a poisonous spider bite.
You know, I'm a big fan of hot sauce. I went to the shop in Austin, Texas, where they sold easily 1,000 different kinds of hot sauce. Everything. And you can't believe some of the names of these things. They give you a hotness indicator. It's spectacular. And I welcome anyone who can be innovative in that realm, because there's nothing better than the perfect hot sauce. You know, you find it and you can put it on anything. And it's amazing. And I like hot stuff. But this sounds dangerous.
Well, I mean, without even putting spider juice into it, I had an incident when I was living in McGregor, which is in the middle of nowhere. And the nearest hospital doesn't actually have doctors in it. It's got like nurses, but no doctors. Mm-hmm. And I had bought some habanero chilies.
Yes.
But the jarred kind.
Yes.
From a farm stall. And before I made lunch we bought pies and we were going to have a bit of this habanero chili on the side. And I tasted a bit with my pinky just to see what it was like. Continued making lunch and I then began to not be able to breathe.
From that?
Yeah. So.
You took like a drop?
Yeah. So my partner at the time was on the phone to a business partner and he was walking around chatting on the phone. And everything progressed so quickly that I actually went and packed a bag. I knew I had to go to hospital. Packed a bag while he was on the phone, got the keys, tapped him on the shoulder. And by the time he turned around, he just dropped the phone because my face was double the size. My lips were double the size.
You guys looked so pretty.
My body had come out in these welts. Oh my God. Every part of my skin was raised by about a centimeter.
Are you allergic?
I didn't know what the hell was going on. At this point, I didn't even realize it was the habanero.
Jesus.
The welts were, like, I actually couldn't fit into my dress. The welts were so big.
Good God.
So we're now driving to the hospital. I'm battling to breathe. And we get to the hospital and I burst into what I think is going to be an emergency room, like on TV. And there are actually no doctors there. They're just people queuing.
Oh God.
They have to phone a doctor. So I'm speaking to them in Afrikaans and they've given me about, I think you take 40 antihistamine tablets at one time.
40?
Yeah. They just give them to you and you just swallow them.
Jesus.
And then they...
This is from a hot sauce?
Yeah. Then they started a drip. And
I would suggest you don't do the spider one, if you don't mind.
I said to them, I can't ask them all, what can gebeur is, I can't... are you gonna make a hole in my throat? You know, are you ready to do a tracheostomy? And eventually I lay back because now all of the stuff that they were giving me started to work on my sleepiness. And I lay back and I said to my partner, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Well, you're here now. So there's good news for everybody.
And finally, everything, they found the doctor. The doctor came. She said she's never seen a case like that.
What a reaction. And like, there's no middle of the road reaction with Leanne. It's all or nothing.
So what happens is
you're either on the verge of death or you're absolutely fine.
Habanero chili itself, only habanero, produces a very specific toxic chemical if it's bottled for too long.
Oh, wow.
And that's what happened.
God, so you eventually, did you figure out what it was?
Yeah.
While you were on your way to the hospital?
Only after the incident.
I mean, maybe I like hot sauce, but not as much anymore.
Just be careful of the habanero bottled ones from like farm stalls where it's been sitting there for years.
Hey, listen, a little later on, we're going to have someone pop by, Andrew Chester. He's going to tell us a little bit about data breaches and hacking. And he basically can hack into anyone's phone or computer. And before you know it, all your information belongs to him. And he's doing this because he wants people to know how vulnerable you are. So you gotta be aware of this.
Well, I hope that's his reason. He's not coming here to steal our stuff.
Well, you'll see, Ben. He's a good guy. He started his own business, which is a cybersecurity company. And he wants people to know that there really are some scary things happening on the internet. Apparently there was this ship. It's one of these luxury cruise liners called Viking Sky.
Oh, the Norway disaster thing.
And apparently there was something horrible that happened, and these terrifying scenes that were caught on camera. All the passengers had to be rescued before the ship returned to shore. What happened?
I'm actually not even sure that they have all been rescued yet. So there were 1,300 passengers on board, and as of yesterday, they had rescued 180, including Graham Smith's parents.
What?
Yeah, they were on the boat as well.
Look at you going for an idyllic Scandinavian cruise, and waves were like 10, 11 meters.
Oh, so there were swells.
It was swells. It was really, really bad weather. And this thing was being tossed from side to side. In the videos on social media, it's literally like out of a movie scene where you see the furniture shifting from one side to the next.
Oh my God.
And you literally have to just hold on for dear life.
Jesus, you could get smashed around by the furniture. It's disastrous.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on some of these cruise liners before, and it's idyllic and it's quiet, and you know, you don't have anything to worry about. On this video that Leanne's showing me, there's a piano moving from side to side.
A baby grand piano
that's smashing into the walls. There are people sitting on the furniture trying not to be swept away. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It seemed like the engines kind of failed.
Well, it's also these big ships have stabilizers in them. So it's highly unlikely, even in the worst of storms, that they're going to be moving around like this. There must have been some kind of malfunction as well.
Yeah, so
that's exactly what it was.
So they couldn't get the engines on, so they were essentially drifting towards land.
God,
amongst all this weather, and they've managed to get the engines back. It is back in port now. That must be so scary because you've got nothing to really hold on to.
No. I mean,
obviously not quite as scary as a plane going down, but up there.
Well, these are huge ships. I mean, you're high up. You're moving around very, very perceptibly from left to right or up and down or whatever. It's scary. And the motion sickness kicks in then as well.
Oh, gosh. The absolute fear.
There's nothing you can do. You just have to wait.
I was thinking about it, having been on ships with you, Gareth, is where the safest place would be to be. And I think it would be in your toilet cubicle because you're, as much as it moves around.
Why? Because you're cucking
yourself. Yeah, firstly that. And you're not being hit with flying objects. And it kind of keeps you upright. Like in the piano lounge, it's not a good idea. Near the bar with the glasses and
I would be the
cabaret singer floating around next to you. It's not a good idea. There are too many movables.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe your toilet cubicle is not a bad place. But then you do, if something does go wrong and you're stuck in there, you don't know what's going on. And, you know, if something really terrible happens, let's say a ship starts sinking.
Oh, gosh.
Then you're in the toilet cubicle.
Open your cubicle door.
I'd rather be up on the deck holding on to something, frankly.
But it's quite tough. I mean, thankfully, I think only 20 people were injured. But most people who are on cruise liners are old people who can't dodge pianos as well as nimble people.
So they must be, I mean, the injuries must be much worse.
It's even more scary.
Jesus. All right. Well, there we go. Oh. Don't go on any of these cruise liners if it's going somewhere dangerous. Or if they look like they might have an engine seizure. It happens so seldom, though. It's like It's like plane crashes. They're very rare incidences. They don't occur very often. Compared to getting in your car every day and driving, it's nothing.
Or being a pedestrian or a cyclist.
Correct. But when it happens, everyone goes, oh, can't go on a ship ever again. It's scary. I was in a huge storm on a ship once. And we were being taken back from the shore on these little rubber dinghies. And there were massive swells. Massive, massive swells. I mean, I wouldn't say it was life or death, but it was pretty damn scary. Mm-mm. I do remember that.
It just feels so insignificant.
Yeah, I remember being in Thailand, hungover to all hell on this catamaran. We went into the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus of vomiting, which lasted about, must have been an hour and a half. But just all you hear is...
and makes you sick.
And I held on, and then half an hour from, I couldn't anymore. I vomited so much, I needed two bags.
Oh, God.
And there was this like American guy going, just look at the horizon. Like,
that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, but he was all like calm and he had these magnets and all this other kind of shit.
But you've got to actually, the point is to let go and go with the motion. So in other words, allow your body to move backwards and forwards with whatever's going on around
you. Fight it.
Yeah. But the minute you fight it, you get that motion sickness.
Sure, yes, but the smell of vomit.
Yeah. Okay.
And like all you hear is,
sounds like a delightful holiday.
It was horrific.
How many avos you think it would take to kill you?
17.
And this is not them being thrown at you or falling from trees.
No. If you had to just eat avos, how many would it take to kill you?
Is it one sitting or over a time period?
This is going to be such bad news for millennials because all they care about is avos. Yeah. So here we go.
It is one sitting, but if you think about it, it takes a long time.
I'm going to go with 17. It'll shut your body down and you'll die.
I can't eat more than one or two.
Why? You would never need to.
No.
No.
So to kill the average woman, you would need to eat 200.
Good Lord.
Okay. And a man would be 240.
Men would.
It's a lot,
and
though.
What kills you is the potassium, because it's got twice the amount of potassium as bananas.
Okay. But again, coming back to who the hell proved this? Who sat down and said, right, 200 avos, let's go.
I don't know. You know?
This is what Theresa May does in her spare time when she's not Brexiting.
These are scientists from Popular Science who figured out, you know, the various levels in each.
Those quacks.
All right. So
I don't think they actually put people there and made them eat avos until they died.
They took the potassium levels.
Equations.
So when too much potassium hits the bloodstream, it interrupts the heart's rhythmic beating, being a metal, and causing it to slow or even stop.
You know that you need more potassium in your body than you need sodium?
Okay.
Did you
know that? Especially if you've been hit by lightning.
Well, potassium and sodium both have a very important role in transferring the electricity down and up your neurons.
Right.
So your whole nervous system relies on the ionic charges of sodium and potassium ions. And you actually need more potassium. It's much harder to find in nature than sodium. But if you think about it, that's very bizarre because table salt is sodium chloride. So that's your main source of sodium. And we eat quite a lot of salt as humans.
Mm.
It also has a role to play in osmotic pressure within the cells and all that kind of thing. But you actually need, I think it's a tiny percentage more, but a little bit more potassium than you do sodium. I would never have known that. Discovered this yesterday.
Who knew? Okay, how much coffee do you think you could drink before it killed you in one sitting?
43 cups.
Very close. For women, it's 50 cups. Men, 70 cups.
Jesus. If you are drinking 70 cups of coffee in a row, I don't think the coffee's going to kill you. I think you'll run into a wall.
Well, what happens is you get very dizzy. Your blood pressure raises, gives you seizures. Your heart is sent into fibrillation. You may have an arrhythmic beat. And your heart just fails to pump blood.
So someone asks, does that mean that 500 bananas would kill a man?
Yes, probably.
Yes, because you wouldn't be able to shit for like 3 years.
Bananas, they don't stop you from shitting, do they?
They concrete Ben up, clearly.
Oh, jeepers.
And here's an interesting question. Hey, Leanne, or comment. The best way to get rid of spiders is to take a long feather duster, which will lift it easily. And you walk outside with an arm outstretched and tap it into the garden so it drops off. It's so easy. You can then relax and the spider can live happily ever after. Good luck, Jeanette.
Thanks, Jeanette. I wish I could do that, but it's not that advanced.
And then Riet in Cape Town says, Leanne, I sympathize with regard to spiders. Nobody else understands the intense fear I have of it, especially when they move. Mm. I've been known to clear my kitchen worktop with an unnecessary 2.5 meters after a rain spider surprised me. And then Cassandra has sent more pictures of spiders.
No.
Cassandra says, we went away for the weekend recently and this little guy was waiting for us on the toilet.
Oh.
In Tesselaar's Dal. It's not for sissies. There's this big ass spider under the bowl.
Mm-mm. No, no,
climbing
no.
Climbing around under the bowl.
No.
Yes. Yes, it's very nice. So, okay, don't eat too many avos. Don't drink too much coffee.
Yeah, well, there's, I mean, also watermelon.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so how many watermelons could you eat before you died?
Well,
okay.
You'd probably have to do it sitting over the loo because it's just water. It's going to go right through you, right?
I think you could probably get through 5, but I don't know if it would kill you.
I think 23 would kill you.
3 melons would kill a woman. 4 Jesus. Would kill a man.
Wow, we both overestimated that hugely.
And it does have exactly to do with the fluid. Oh. Your
just be
cells become inundated with water.
Oh,
they expand to try and normalize their electrolyte balance.
Wow.
Swelling like this in the brain can damage nerve cells and pinch off the oxygen supply. It's not a lot of watermelon, hey?
Well, I couldn't eat a whole watermelon. Could you?
Yeah.
A whole watermelon? I think you'd already be uncomfortable after the first half.
But a whole watermelon, firstly, you're going to attract the ants. That many, it's just a bad idea. All of these are just bad ideas.
What other stuff do we have around us that can kill us if we overdo it?
I would love to know apples. I reckon the acid would eat your face after about 20 apples.
Pineapple's way more
pineapple,
acidic. You can actually feel it on your teeth after you've eaten too many pineapples.
Yes.
Nutmeg? Which we use in a lot of Thanksgiving type foods and Christmas time and baking.
How many grams of turmeric could we?
That's what I was worrying about because I sometimes take turmeric tablets. But for a woman, it would be 22 cups of nutmeg. I mean, no one's going to do that. It actually gives you like a huge hangover thanks to the psychoactive chemical myristicin.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to have multiple cups to trigger organ failure. The dark chocolate, you'd need between 330 and 400 bars of dark chocolate. They can drop your blood pressure way beyond what it should be. And then there's beef liver.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to worry about
that. No, me neither. That's why they put it at number one. I would put it at the last.
All right.
431 pounds of it. You would have to eat. It's due to the vitamin A. That's what would kill you. It would overindulge our own livers and increase intracranial pressure to hazardous levels.
Oh, my God. Intracranial pressure.
Yes.
Holy shit. Your head could explode. That's what that means.
And then there's water as well. I mean, downing 30-plus glasses of water in a few hours, you could do yourself in.
Listen, can we talk about do yourself in? I know Fikile Mbalula is not a minister anymore. I know he's been relegated to some shitty office in Luthuli House, and he's in charge of elections.
He's the gogo in charge of election.
But he looks like a gogo. This is what Ben is referring to. Sia, you're a local consultant when it comes to image and branding. Now, Fikile has grown a bit of a fro. It's a slight fro.
And it looks slightly permed.
Yeah.
He's got an unfortunate face because he's no, I'm not being mean here because I this is not my intention. Fikile is a puffy sort of dude. He looks fat even if he isn't. He's got big puffy cheeks. His eyes tend to look like that they're stuffed like two buttons on a teddy bear.
Too much watermelon.
Too much watermelon. The nose is really kind of shapeless and he's got this poofy hair now, and he wears these granny glasses that we've already indicated. Oh. And they're the horn-rimmed variety that go up in the corners. Very bad idea. Whoever's told him that this looks good on him, it doesn't. It makes you look like an old grandma.
Yes.
It makes you look like Dionne Warwick circa 1970. It's really not good. And he's been talking about his decision, not to mention a phone call he received from AJ Gupta when he appeared with the then public protector, Thuli Madonsela, because obviously there's a controversy brewing around this with the State Capture Commission going on. So just listen to him a little bit. And, and ponder on the way that we've described his looks, because this is what I'd like to have your thoughts on.
I didn't think it was important at that particular moment.
With respect, though, you're talking about the public protector investigating state capture.
Yes, public protector was not investigating.
By the way, he's also sweaty.
Very.
He's very sweaty. There's a lot of sweat coming off the brow.
I couldn't watch him much last week at the commission just because of how sweaty he was. All I could think of was, can someone hand him like a tissue? Because he has an
issue.
Is he
a bit of a sweaty Betty?
Oof.
A lot of people saying he looks like Madea.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Oh, so I don't know what's going on there.
Let's rephrase that. He's chosen to look like Madea.
Yeah. Right. So unnecessary.
Yeah, his looks aren't helping him.
And I mean, let's just leave alone the fact that he can't come out now and say that he decided it wasn't important. Tuli Madonsela was asking about state capture, and he was like, I'm not going to tell her some important evidence. I think he's talking himself into a bit of a situation here. I think that could be criminal.
Well, when you spend an entire life following people, now you're being actually asked for your own opinions. It must be very difficult.
Well, clearly that's what's going on. And he also had this to say when he was asked about the curry. We talk about hot sauce this morning.
Mm-hmm. Really, was it? Was it very spicy?
No, it is very spicy, but it is a generous offer. When you go there, you get to be given curry, and that is it. But whether it is spicy, I'm not a fan of curry. So, but because I'm a son of the African people who have been imbued with values of Ubuntu, you don't, when you enter somebody's house, refuse the offer that is given to you in terms of food. You eat even if it is not what you prefer.
Hmm. That's so why he's sweating.
Actually being mean about the curry, not being nice about it at all.
How did we reach this point as a country?
But that's the guy in charge of the ANC's election plans.
Head of elections.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he's as if he hasn't got his work cut out for him already, what with power cuts every other day. Mm. And this government, which has just been unable to get out of the starting blocks, and now he has to defend them by saying, well, at least he's got Ubuntu. He goes into people's houses and eats their curry when they offer it.
And you think he's been pushed off to some crappy little office in Luthuli House?
Oh, definitely.
I think he's a master of just weaving himself in and out of situations.
I don't think so.
I think he probably ordered some gold plates for his office somewhere.
He goes where he's told. He's like the child you give an iPad to because you need to go talk to actual adults. And that's what the ANC have done. They've given him an iPad.
Yeah,
which is this head of elections.
Ben knew this when he was Minister of Sport. Ben pointed this out to us already.
Minister of Sport in good times, and now what is head of elections? Come May the 9th, what will he be doing?
Sitting around.
Okay.
Waiting to be deployed to some new
for
office.
For the next, okay.
All right, this is an interesting one. And by the way, our guest that we were going to talk to, Andrew Chester, is not coming in anymore. He's just, he can't make it this morning. But we'll get him in on another day to do this hack. I mean, it's something we've all got to think about, right? Who is the longest-lived American president?
I mean, George W. was the... He died recently, I know.
George H.W.?
George H.
George H.W. is dead, so he's not alive anymore, so he's exempted. So that leaves Barack Obama, Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Then before Bill Clinton, it was... Who?
George W.
George H.W., who we know has died. And then before George H.W., it was Reagan, who's died. And before Reagan, it was Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy
Carter's still
who's
alive.
He's still alive and kicking.
Yes, he's still going strong. Listen to this.
Oh.
He's the longest lived chief executive in American history. You know, when they play music like this, it's because you're about to die.
Yeah, sure.
No.
He... He is 94 years old.
He's not in our death pool. Our death pool's like...
No.
Our death pool should be called the life pool. No one dies on it.
Yeah, clearly as much as then we have a list going, it isn't exactly quite lucrative for us.
So why? What stopped him from being president still?
Oh. Well, no, he only won one term. He's actually hugely unsuccessful. He and George H.W. Bush both only had one term. But Jimmy Carter's got a purpose. He wakes up in the morning. He's got things to do. He's very big in the Habitat for Humanity movement. They're trying to build houses for people. He hasn't stopped working.
He probably has less executive time on his calendar than Trump.
Probably. And I think the fact that he's got something to wake up for every morning keeps him going. In his 90s, not complaining. It's been more than 3 years since he said that he had melanoma, that it spread to his liver and brain, but he's still going. So, you tell me. Like, what's the secret here? I don't know. It just seems to me like, yeah, Jimmy Carter's got some kind of secret going on. He figured something out. He did undergo treatment and received a clean bill of health when his cancer scare came about. And his post-presidency legacy overshadowed his White House tenure and his political rise, because he wasn't, as I said, a very successful president. But he's been very, very successful since then in all of his projects with NGOs and that kind of thing. His wife, Rosalind, founded the Carter Center in 1982 to focus on global human rights issues.
And this year, him and Roslyn married for 73 years.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Very impressive. Oh, miss me. I mean, that deserves a round of applause. That's very impressive.
Miss me.
No, that's great. Isn't that great?
Well, it's fantastic for them, but I think, you know, 94 and he's still working and still doing things.
Terrific.
I don't want to be doing that at 94.
Why? Of course you would, yeah. What would you rather be doing? Sitting in a robe at home getting fat?
Not a robe, but a caftan. I've told you that
No, but you wouldn't.
That's my vision when I'm old.
And smoking jacket.
A muumuu.
No, I need to be in a flowy caftan all the time. And at that point, I do want to have a beachfront property just so that I get to sit out and look out at the ocean and throw rocks at the kids who are playing in front of my property.
It's lovely seeing your fresh hope and, dreams.
94 years
old. Just to watch you crash and realize that life gets harder and harder as you get older. You'll probably get poorer and poorer.
Well,
and less agile.
That's Leanne with...
And more constipated.
Some really good things to look forward to this Monday.
But it's lovely to watch, Sia. What else
do I have to look forward to in life?
Ben, bananas do not stop you from shitting. What nonsense, says someone on the
messages. I agree.
They're even shaped
like shits. Come on, it's obvious.
They hold you back. I know. I was on the super fan thing where we had to stay awake for like a weekend. And the woman that won just ate bananas because when you go to the toilet, you don't, like, it was points deducted, whatever. And this woman just ate bananas and she ended up winning.
But did it block her up?
Well, I didn't keep in touch with her afterwards, but she never went to the loo.
It's very strange. All right, so here's a quick story that I thought might make you laugh, because we were all constantly going on about how clever these tech companies are. So Facebook and Google, some dude stole $122 million from Facebook and Google just by sending them random bills.
Uh-oh.
And the companies, they just paid. So the people of Google and Facebook are not the smartest people in the world. They will pay just anything that you invoice them for without you even having to check that it's got anything to do with their business.
Yeah,
they're making so much money they don't care.
Jump in now. There's obviously a gap. So before they find out everything,
yeah,
just they're apparently not checking invoices against POs and...
No.
But
too much effort.
Just last week, a Lithuanian guy named Evaldas Remasauskas.
That's him. Yes, I know him.
He pleaded guilty to U.S. wire fraud.
I think he came and had some of our coffee the other day.
And stole your money. Aggravated identity theft and money laundering charges, admitting that he had stolen $99 million from Facebook and $23 million from Google just in 2 years, between 2013 and 15.
Very impressive. I mean, let's give him a round of applause. Talk about Rosalind and Jimmy Carter, but this is a real achievement.
All he did was send Google and Facebook invoices for items that they hadn't purchased and that he hadn't provided, which the companies just paid anyway. Invoices were accompanied by forged invoices, contracts, and letters that falsely appeared to have been executed and signed by executives and agents of something that he set up called Quanta Computer Inc. He was pretending to be the giant Taiwanese hardware manufacturer, which actually exists, and simply registered Quanta Computer Inc. in Latvia, using the exact same name.
What a clever guy. I mean, he's a crook, and he'll probably go to jail.
Yeah, and he has to pay the money back. He doesn't have to pay it all back because he spent a lot of it.
$122 million.
$122 million. That's insane.
He's agreed to forfeit about $50 million. It's unclear what happened to the other $73 million. But apparently, this Remasauskas was a prolific and money launderer who squirreled away cash in Cyprus, Lithuania, Hungary, Slovakia, and Latvia. So the money might be somewhere. He will be sentenced only on July the 29th and faces up to 30 years.
Just his name one more time.
Evaldas Remasauskas.
Mm. The way it just rolls off your tongue, Leanne.
Yeah, he was definitely here last week. Mm. I saw him. Mm.
He brought some coffee. Well, speaking of some crazy men out there, have you, since we don't want to get lost in trends as well, there's a new Florida man trend. Has anyone heard of it?
No.
This is where you Google, you just type in the words Florida man and then
yes.
You see
and
all
your
these
birthday.
Stupid headlines about a stupid guy. And it's not the same guy, obviously, yes. But there are a lot of men in Florida.
Doing stupid things
yes. All year
in the
round.
News.
Yeah.
So
try it now for yourself.
It's the funnest thing to do. I saw this trend over the weekend and I started doing it.
You go into Google and
it.
You type in Florida yeah. man and then your birthday.
Yes.
Like the year and everything.
No, just the day and the month. Yeah. So I did it for myself. I just Googled Florida man, Feb the 3rd. And there are three amazing articles that popped up.
All yes. right. Here's mine. Florida man charged with exposure at Pensacola strip club.
I got Florida man who had sex with dolphin says it seduced him.
What do you got?
I've got a lot of stories about the Florida man challenge.
Me too.
Firstly.
Did you add your birthday?
Yes.
And it's just talking about how great the Florida man challenge
oh,
is.
Oh, guys, you're not here on this trend.
Apparently, John Legend joined the Florida man challenge, and he came up with a good one. So he put in, John Legend put in his birthday, and he got Florida man throws bicycle and then other man off bridge.
Yeah, sounds about right. It's just so stupid, but that's the trend that
so
I've
you
been
don't
seeing.
Have
okay, I've got two. Florida man arrested for mid-flight battery against flight attendant, and alligator headbutts Florida man, knocks him out cold.
That's it.
There we go. Oh, there, and roofers tear off the wrong house in Florida, the roof.
That's pretty funny. I've got Florida man breaks into neighbor's home to pet their cat.
Florida man accused of putting semen in co-worker's water.
Basically, just be very wary if someone you know lives in Florida. Clearly, that's where all the nutcase
And they all look the same as well. They're mug shots.
See, as much as we are known
old
for...
Old with like snow white hair and bad beards.
As much as we're known for the Guptas at this point, let's be grateful we aren't people who live in Florida right now.
Yeah, they're definitely picking up a lot of heat. But if you do type in Florida man and you just go for the image search, you get some pretty weird looking people.
Maybe do Florida man mug shots.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you'll see some, see
okay,
some messed
yes,
up
I did
stuff.
That.
Right. Fikile Mbalula even pops up. That's bizarre.
Florida go-go.
Okay, Florida man mugshots must be the most epic so far.
Oh my God, there's a guy with half a beard. He's actually got half of faces shaved and the other half has got a beard.
Oh.
Some really bad teeth.
Yeah.
There's a guy with a thick neck who also went viral.
I remember him, yeah.
He's also a Florida
thick
man.
Thick neck guy. He's actually got an Instagram account now. Thick neck.
Oh, and there's the one without the brain.
What?
Do you remember him? He's got absolutely no... his head... Oopsie, his head's just like cut off at the top.
No, I'm not laughing at that shame.
It's just unbelievable.
Wait, what happened?
His brain is gone. It fell out.
Oh, here's one I want to put up on my wall in my bedroom. I'd like to marry him.
He's describe him
if
to
you,
us.
If you Google scowling Florida man with holler tattoo on his forehead, then you'll...
Wow. He looks like amazing. A washed-up rock star.
Jesus.
So that's what I observed.
All right, here's something interesting. Sean says it is physically impossible to consume the lethal dose of psilocybin mushrooms, but we can buy watermelon at Woolies, legalize the mushrooms.
Okay, gotcha.
Sean's got a point there, a big drug point that he wants to make. And then someone else looked up their own Florida man one, and Florida man stabs woman with fork over undercooked potato.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So do that today around the office and see who has the most bizarre Florida man story. All right. By the way, we'll try to get that Andrew Chester back to talk about the hacking at some point. We've got loads of other things we'll have to get to, but we'll have to save it for tomorrow. Leanne and Sia will be back with me tomorrow. Ben back on Wednesday. Along with Gord Laws. Are you excited, Ben?
Always, how are you two feeling about each other?
What kind of question is that? How?
Ben doesn't think about Gord.
I don't think about Gord.
That's it. Okay. All right.
Now
it.
It's time.
I don't think about you.
Now it's time.
Ben, don't say that. Come here. Come here, Ben.
That's how you get hits. They're hitting each other. Is this an HR violation?
Ben loves me and he's just trying to deny it.
All right, good news for electricity this week. Eskom have fixed their Mozambique line. Plus, they've found a new power source. Yes, they've found a way of converting bullshit into power. And with heaps of it being accumulated of late in justifying the power outages, this fuel will burn until the day of the elections at very least. Barbara Streisand is doing what she can to backtrack on her comments around Michael Jackson's victims. She has issued an apology, but has reportedly continued sending Wade Robson text messages to harden the fuck up and move on. And Sri Lanka finally wrapped up their summer of cricket in South Africa, and they're pretty happy to be leaving. They said they're tired of the traffic, tired of the power outages, and most importantly, tired of trying to work out what super rugby is and why the teams sometimes dress up as superheroes. Aren't we all? That is all we got time for today. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We will see you tomorrow. All right, be good. If you need more information or you want to listen to some of our podcasts, go along to cliffcentral.com. We've got a bunch of really interesting stuff for you today, and we'll talk to Stephen Fisher from Flaxman's a little later on, a specialist in property law, conveyancing, and commercial property work. And he's still not sure what he wants to do when he grows up, but he's a committed family man, avid roadrunner, and volunteer for community projects, among other things. He is a lawyer at Flaxman's and one of the people we've interviewed in our series on that law firm and the terrific stuff that they could do for you.
This is CliffCentral.com.